2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 1. And I know this morning we flipped around to several passages of Scripture, but tonight we're going to stay in this one book. We're going to take an expository look at the first couple of chapters in 2 Timothy. To give you a little bit of history on this book, the Apostle Paul wrote this to Timothy, who was apparently one of his well-favored, beloved helpers through his ministry, and this was instruction for Timothy, who was a young preacher, young pastor, to take over some of the responsibilities that the Apostle Paul had as an apostle. Timothy would then carry on some of those responsibilities after Paul died and was no longer part of in this life. And so you may wonder, well, if it's to a preacher, how does it apply to me? Well, it does. All scriptures applies to every one of us in some shape or form, in some way. And I believe that we can take much instruction from this letter, these letters that the Apostle Paul wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to Timothy, and then there's also one to Titus. Tonight we're going to concentrate on 2 Timothy chapters 1 and 2. Verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gifts of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now, we're going to stop here for a second and talk about this a little bit. Notice the love that the Apostle Paul had for Timothy. He said, my dearly beloved son. And Paul was not married. Timothy was not his son according to the flesh. But Paul, this was a term of endearment for someone that was younger than you that you really felt strong love for. And Paul was very apparently loved Timothy greatly. And his prayers were for Timothy's good, and he also wanted to see Timothy. And he mentions here a couple of ladies who were apparently instrumental in Timothy's life, and that was his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. These were very influential women in the lives of Timothy. This was how he had learned the truth growing up as a child. This was very important for him. Ladies and men, it is very important that we endow our children with the right teachings of the scriptures, the teachings about God, because they, our children, will learn a lot of their activity or their actions and how that they can or should exercise their faith from watching us. That's a big portion of their learning is watching their parents. That's why we have our children do things in the same way we do. When we show exasperation and frustration, we show it in a certain way, and then sometime soon we see our children do the same thing, and usually we get really upset with them. Don't you do that. Don't you act like that. And yet they're just mocking or they're showing they're following our example, and that makes it should make it very prevalent in our mind that what we do has a long-lasting influence on our children. Apparently, Timothy's mother and grandmother were faithful women who had trained him and taught him about the Lord as he was growing up. Now, verse 7 starts with a great promise to me, or that this is the way I take this. Verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Here we see the Apostle Paul talking to a young preacher, but I believe this instruction can go to every believer. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. A spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And because of that, I should not be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. I should not be ashamed of Jesus. I should not be fearful of what will happen to me if I share my testimony or if I live my testimony for Christ. Because he has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. It's interesting to me in verse 9 that God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Notice this, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So he's saying here the grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We see in other scriptures where it says that Jesus stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The grace was given to us in Christ Jesus even before the world began. In the annals of time, or of eternity, God chose to show us grace in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus. And what the Apostle Paul says here is, but is now made manifest, that grace was made manifest or made known or shown to us by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. But the grace was always there. The grace was there before Jesus came as a babe in the manger. The grace was there before he died on the cross for our sins, before he was risen from the grave. God's grace was there, given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The Apostle Paul suffered many things. One thing you can't question about the Apostle Paul was his commitment to the Lord. The Apostle Paul, if anyone was committed to Jesus, the Apostle Paul was committed to Jesus. As many things, there are other scriptures where it talks about how much he had suffered for the cause of Christ. And yet he was still proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you see, I think the Apostle Paul knew that it wasn't his doing, it wasn't his works, it was God's purpose and God's grace that was causing him to do these things. That's how it was, a holy calling, not just a calling. Not just a desire, it was a calling, a holy calling given by God. I believe that as Christians today, we need to be committed to the Lord. Not ashamed, not worried about what the world's going to say, not worried about what our friends are going to think. We need to be committed to the Lord. The Apostle Paul was cast into prison. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. They sought to take his life. People wanted to actually kill him, all because he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that was it. The Apostle Paul didn't go out seeking these fights. He didn't go out and start picking at the Jewish leaders and, and say, oh, you know, he didn't start calling them names and everything. He just spoke the truth in love, and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was committed, and for that he suffered many things. He tells us about that here. He says in verse 11, and the end of verse 10, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That's what I was going to tell you before. Brother Larry, that song was very fitting for this message, and I didn't tell him to pick that one, but certainly you see that they took the words from that song, I know whom I believed, out of this very verse, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Listen, when we say committed, I think we need to be committed, and I think this is the case. I think we need to commit everything we have into the hands of the Lord. I believe that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He's saying, I know my Redeemer lives, and he is able to keep everything that I've committed to him against that day. So whatever I do for him will last, because he is able and I've committed it to him. So the Apostle Paul didn't worry about the sufferings of this life. He didn't worry about the stripes. He didn't worry about the stonings. He didn't worry about being in prison, all those things, because he knew who he believed in, and he knew his Redeemer lived. He knows who he believed, and he was persuaded. Do you know what persuaded means? Persuaded means dedicated, determined. I think sometimes during our life, from day to day, we forget who we believe in, who we have believed, and we stop being persuaded that he is able. We should be persuaded. This is not something that you would do, you would say that you would waffle back and forth on. That's not what this is talking about. This is something can be steadfast, can be sure of. That's what being persuaded of something is. We can be persuaded, and we should be persuaded that Jesus is able. Verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And because of the verse 13, he says, he's speaking to Timothy, he says, hold fast or keep those things, the sound words, the sound doctrine, the teachings, the truth that I've given you in faith and love in Christ Jesus. This is our responsibility. If we are persuaded, then we will hold fast. If we are persuaded that Jesus is able, we'll hold fast the sound doctrine, the sound words, his truth in faith and love. This is, I believe, what being committed is. I don't believe you can be committed to the Lord and compromise his truth. I don't believe you can. I believe if you compromise the truth of God, you're not holding fast his words, and you're not holding fast his teachings. You're not, and I believe if you're not doing that, then you're not committed to him. I think they go hand in hand. The Apostle Paul was certainly persuaded that whatever he went through, no matter what it was, he even followed the Lord to death. And yet he knew that the Lord was able to keep that which was committed unto him against that day. Now, we're going to skip the next few verses. We're going to go to chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Here's another thing that the Apostle Paul was giving instruction to Timothy to do, and this was he was to not only hold fast the things that Paul had taught him in Christ Jesus, the faith that he had, but he was also to take those things and to teach other men who could teach others, in turn teach others. This is what we do here. You know what the greatest thing for me would be for this church? Every one of the young men in this audience, in this congregation, and the old men become preachers. See? Because it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that were lost. That would be thrilling to me. I've got Jackson. I'm going to have another son here soon. I know something about being a pastor, and I know that it's not, how should I say this? It's not all sunshine and roses. But I'll tell you, there's nothing that compares to it. There's nothing that compares to being a preacher. But even that, even a preacher, but other than being a preacher, listen to this. He says, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So one of the other things that we want to do is when we're teaching the Sunday school class, our goal is that they can then in turn teach others. And then they can teach others. That's how the truth passes on from generation to generation. We teach those in the next generation, and they in turn teach those in the generations to follow. So I believe this is what the Apostle Paul was telling Timothy that he was to do. Now he goes into a description where he starts talking about something. I think it's summed up, verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as it doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Thaletus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that maketh and that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We're going to read just a few more verses in this passage. But notice he starts out here and he talks about the soldier. He tells Timothy, be a good soldier of Christ. Be a good soldier. I am so impressed by the things that soldiers will do, the things that they will go through for the sake of honor. They go through a lot of things that I would probably not do. They do some things. They do things that I believe are astounding to me out of duty and honor. Paul was telling Timothy, and I believe through the scriptures, telling us today, be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Go through whatever we have to go through. Endure hardness. Endure whatever we have to go through for the sake of Christ, because he will bless us beyond measure. Be a good soldier. There's something else here. I've heard this story before. I may have even used it here. You've heard of Alexander the Great? Alexander the Great, by nature of his name, was a pretty arrogant fellow. I don't know if he called himself Alexander the Great. But he was one of the great leaders of the world. And his armies were out in battle fighting a war. And there was one particular soldier who was not doing what he was supposed to do. He was not doing the things that he was commanded to do as a soldier. So Alexander the Great had them bring this man to him. And the thing about this man was his name was actually Alexander too. His name was Alexander. So Alexander the Great said, talked to him and basically was trying to find out what was going on with him. And the end of the story, as I understand it, is he told the man, either straighten up your life, straighten up your and do what you're responsible to do, be a soldier like you're supposed to be, or change your name from Alexander to something else. Because you see that the name Alexander reflected on Alexander the Great, and he didn't want that to be brought down by a soldier who was not serving the way he was supposed to do. Let me tell you, when we take the name of Jesus Christ, we are taking a name above every name. A name above every name. When I call myself a Christian, he says in verse 19, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Committed to Christ means departing from iniquity. Getting rid of iniquity in our life. Sin. Sin should not have a place in my life if I claim the name of Jesus. If I claim to be his, I should not allow iniquity or sin to rule my life, because whatever I do reflects on my Savior, the one I've taken his name. Now, the last few verses here. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Here we see that he uses an example of vessels in a house. During this time, there were vessels We use dishes, and we even use paper plates, paper bowls that we can throw away. They didn't use those back then. They actually used vessels for different tasks, things that you could think of, like bringing water from the well, because they didn't have running water in their house. They bring water from the well in a vessel. There were also vessels where they kept the dirty water after washing their hands and washing their feet and washing dishes and all those types of things, and that held dirty water. And then you had the vessels that were very precious, and those were much like we do. They were kept up in places of honor, high places within the house, like on a shelf or something. Right, we do that with our precious things. We have a choice in our life. We can be committed to the Lord and be a vessel of honor. See, the key was not what the vessel necessarily looked like, but it was what it was used for, what it did, what it was allowed, what it was useful for. He says meet for the master's use, or capable or compatible with the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. He doesn't say that the gold and silver were always of honor, and the wood and, what did he say, the wood and the earth, those of wood and earth, were to dishonor. He just says some were to honor, some were to dishonor. The key is, were they usable by the master? Were they useful? I think the same question for us is, are we useful to the master? Are we capable? Do we allow him to use us in whatever way he sees fit? See, that's being committed to the Lord. Being committed to the Lord means allowing him to use you however he sees fit for every good work. But to do that, we have to prepare our hearts, depart from iniquity, and be available to the Lord for his use. I pray that Eastgate Missionary Baptist Church follows righteousness, faith, charity or love, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That is my hope and my prayer for Eastgate Missionary Baptist Church, that we be all vessels of honor, vessels that God can use, that he can use in however he sees fit, and we can endure the suffering that comes along with that. The Apostle Paul has a great legacy. When he is one of the heroes. He's one of my heroes. But you see, he endured much suffering to be used by the Lord. I should be willing to do the same thing. If I'm willing to do the same thing, I am committed to him. But it has to be out of a pure heart, a heart that is following after faith, righteousness, love, peace, all these things. That's being committed to the Lord. I pray that we would look at our commitment to him each and every day and renew that. Renew it so that we can be useful vessels of honor for him.